Join us as we open the Word of God to get more deeply grounded and learn about the abundant life available to all through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Young man went on a mission trip, his first mission trip, to a foreign country. Of course, he didn't speak the language, and he was at a church service, and he didn't really know what was going on, so he decided to do exactly what the local sitting beside him did. So, if that man clapped, he clapped. If the man smiled, he smiled. If the man sang, he sang. If he stood, he stood. He took communion exactly the same way as the man that was sitting beside him. He copied everything he did. Now, at the end of the service, the pastor was wrapping it up with some announcements. At one of the announcements, the congregation erupted in great clapping and shouting. The guy beside him clapped, so he clapped. The guy beside him stood up, so he stood up. But then he looked around the congregation and realized that only the guy beside me and me are the only ones standing up. And so the guy frowned at him, so he sat down. And a man sitting behind him who spoke English said, You don't speak Spanish, do you? And he said, no. He said, the pastor asked if the new father who just had a baby would please stand up. And so the man visiting that country said, this was my introduction to parenting. So I think that story describes pretty well how most of us learn what we've learned about parenting. It was modeled to us by someone, our parents or perhaps our step-parents. Maybe we read a book or two, and that's pretty much it. I remember when our firstborn was born, Philip, in California, and we were so excited that he was here. And we left the hospital with him, and I remember feeling secretly, man, I wish the nurse was coming home with us. But Kathy's his mother, and of course she's going to intuitively know everything to do, because I certainly don't, and I'm really scared right now. Well, it turned out okay, but I think, you know, what is it about we go to college and we learn so much in college about our career, but we really don't invest much ahead of time into parenting. But one truth I've learned for sure is that things are caught more than they are taught. Children watch you like a hawk. And I've observed that with our new grandson, Benji. We were in Memphis visiting at Christmas time. He was 5 months old. And Kathy was holding him while she was eating. And he kept, you know, turning and looking up, watching her putting food into her mouth. And he was so interested. You could tell that he really wanted what she was eating, but he wasn't eating solids yet. Now, 6 months later, if you look at a picture of him, he knows how to eat solids. He's eating like there's no tomorrow. I think he's in the 99th percentile as far as weight. Then they sent us a few weeks ago a really cute video of our 3.5-year-old granddaughter Florence feeding him, I think it was guacamole, and his mouth is really wide open as she's getting that spoon to his mouth, and then you look at her and her mouth is really wide open too. So it's like she's trying to model for him, right? Here's how you eat, Benji. Well, I want to tell you another story about kids imitating. Gary Duff is the maintenance guy at our church and school. And I think around the school, he must be a rock star. The kids love him. They call him Mr. Gary. They want to do everything he's doing. So take a look at a couple videos that Gary sent me.
Hayden, who are you?
Gary.
What are you fixing?
The toilet.
Okay. Who are you?
It's Gary.
What are you doing?
Cut.
Well, what are you doing now, Mr. Gary?
Man, I need to do some work.
Need to do some work? All right.
Okay. All right. So the first one, he's fixing a toilet. And then the second one, he's painting like Mr. Gary. So he'll wear his workman's clothes and carry these play tools around and pretend that he's Mr. Gary. So as you can see, children follow what they are shown, what they're imitated. They imitate well. Gilda Radner of Saturday Night Live fame wrote a book called It's Always Something. And here's a story from the book. When I was little, my cousin had a dog, just a mutt, and the dog was pregnant. I don't know how long dogs are pregnant, but she was due to have her puppies in about a week. She was out in the yard one day and got in the way of the lawnmower, and her two hind legs got cut off. They rushed her to the vet, and he said, I can sew her up, or you can put her to sleep if you want. But the puppies are okay. She'll be able to have puppies. My cousin said, let's keep her alive. So the vet sewed up her backside, and over the next week, the dog learned to walk. She didn't spend any time worrying. She learned to walk by taking two steps in the front, then flipping her backside, then taking two steps in front and flipping her backside again. She gave birth to six little puppies, all of them in perfect health. She nursed them and weaned them, and when they learned to walk, they all walked just like she did. They took two steps in the front and then flipped their backside. So it's every species, including human beings, simply do what someone else has modeled for them to do. Well, kids are great imitators. They're not great listeners, but they're really great imitators, especially of your faults. Have you noticed that? Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. The proverb is saying, if you walk integrity, your children will walk integrity. They'll catch your integrity because things are more caught than taught. This morning, I want to share an acrostic with you from Craig Jutila called Model. Okay, here's the M. Manage your time. In an article called Making Parenting a Priority, the authors found that parents today are too busy for their kids. Not only does the parent have his or her work schedule, but they have the activities that they enjoy and are involved in. But here's the real phenomenon. It's their phone. Their phones are getting in the way of their parenting. They're spending so much time on social media. And if they're spending so much time on social media, hey, parents, guess what? What are your kids going to be doing? Spending a lot of time on social media just like you. Experts say that there's just not enough time with children the parents are spending. And it's proving to be detrimental to their thinking, coping skills, school performance, relating to others, even their health. Sometimes we dads, we get home and our little ones come running up to us and they hug our legs and they're so happy to see us and they want us to play with them. And we say, well, honey, I can't right now. I've got a lot of work. Unfortunately, I can't get all my work done at work, so I have to bring my work home. And one little boy said to his daddy, well, then why don't they put you in the slower group? How many here this morning would like to be put in the slower group at work? Okay. Years ago, nobody had a watch, but we all had time. Now, we have a watch, but no time. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Time is limited. We only have a certain amount. How are we going to use that time? And when your values are clear, your decisions are easy. If I were to ask you this morning, in your priorities, where does your family fit? I bet you all would say really high up here. In your schedule, where does your family fit? Sadly, a little bit lower maybe than we wish. James Dobson, in his book, Bringing Up Boys, says, the disengagement of parents in our fast-paced, dizzying world will show up repeatedly in our discussion of boys. It's the underlying problem plaguing children today. I think it's fair to say we do live in a fast-paced, dizzying world. Because we move so fast, particularly myself, When I get moving so fast, I dishonor those that are closest to me, namely my wife and kids. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I think we exasperate our children when we make no time for them or hurry them. We lead them instead in the way of the master. I mean, research has proven time and time again that troubled boys, particularly, especially ones that wind up in jail, had absent fathers more time than not. You know the song by Harry Chapin, Cats in the Cradle, right? About a dad who had no time for his son, and then when his son is an adult, that adult son has no time for him. Managing our time and making time are crucial for us dads. Okay, the O. Observe teachable moments. Observe teachable moments. Now, I remember this distinctly, very well. I was in a grocery store. I was still a bachelor. I was about 20 years old. And I could hear it before I saw it. But then I saw this little kid pitching a fit and the mother begging and pleading with the child to please be quiet. And I thought, what's wrong with that mom? Why doesn't she keep her child under control? Then I thought, yeah, I really want to be a parent. But then I had children of my own. And I begin to say, I think kids are wired to do that. You know, in the grocery store, pitch a fit, right? When it's the most embarrassing time for you. And I think someone must be paying them to do that. Maybe it's God who's paying them to do that. Maybe God is getting even with you for what you did to your parents. I read about a stupid experiment done in a progressive state, in a progressive school district. They removed all the fences from around the preschools and elementary schools. They wanted the kids to be able to roam. They wanted the kids to be free to explore and express themselves however they wanted to. You know what they found? That the kids were huddled in the middle of the playground. They didn't even venture as far as the fences originally were. Kids need and want boundaries in their lives. And they will push you, parent, to the point of exasperation and exhaustion to test you, to see if you will provide the necessary boundaries that they want and need. So your job, parents, is to put a fence up that produces safe and happy and healthy kids. Listen to Deuteronomy 6:6-9. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This passage is telling us you've got to teach your children as well as model and live it out before them. So molding and modeling both together. Teach them about God and His ways. Read the Word of God and pray together. Teach them to love one another. Teach them what Jesus did for them on the cross. Teach them to select good friends. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Eventually, their friends are going to influence them more than you. Teach them about self-control. Daniel Goleman, in his book Primal Leadership, Realizing the Power of Emotional Intelligence, would call it emotional self-control. There was a study done several years ago called the Marshmallow Test. Maybe you've heard about this. A researcher came into the room and brought in a group of four-year-olds, had them all around the table. He opened up a large bag of large marshmallows and put a marshmallow in front of each child. Then he gave some simple instructions to them. He said, when I leave the room, you can eat your marshmallow if you would like. But if you wait until I return, I will give you another marshmallow if you don't eat your first one. So he got a consensus from the kids that they understood. He walked out of the room. As soon as he walked out of the room, over half of the group ate the first marshmallow. 7 minutes later, he came back to the room. Those who did not eat their marshmallow, he gave them another marshmallow, and together they ate both of their marshmallows. It's interesting. They followed those four-year-old children all the way through adolescence. Here's their conclusion. When the two marshmallow children were evaluated during their adolescence, they were measured against their one marshmallow peers. They were found to be more confident, more competent, more assertive, more reliable, and less likely when faced with difficulties to quit. Not to mention more eager to learn, better able to concentrate, better able to achieve higher scores on their SATs, all from not eating a marshmallow. In addition, they continued to be far better at self-control. The results of the test are found in Daniel Goleman's book, Emotional Intelligence. Now, we certainly wanted our kids to get good grades, but even more so, we wanted them to be good people. If parents shop till they drop, they'll have kids that cry till you buy. We have to show them self-control. And then they'll have self-control because these kind of things are caught more than bought or taught. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." So you're modeling these things for your children, reading the Word, praying, worshiping God, serving in your church. Then your children will see that and do the same. Malachi 2:15. "Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth." God wants godly children. How does he get it? Godly parents. Maybe you're thinking this morning, but I'm a single parent. And it's really tough because you don't know what I go through. You're right, I don't. I grew up in a Christian home with two godly parents. I've been married to my wife for 43 years, so I don't know what you're going through. But I do know that there are lots of Christian single moms out there, or dads, and they're making a go of it, and they're doing well. And God helped them, and he'll help you, and the church will help you too. So don't give up. The D is date your family. Date your family. I love this one. I've been a senior pastor for 38 years, and Friday is our date day. We really try to guard and preserve that day, just the two of us, to go out. We usually, it involves lunch. We spend the day together. We have fun. When our kids were growing up and still in the home, I would go to their games. I knew I would usually have a couple of meetings at church in the evening, so I'd miss that time, so I might sneak out a little bit early in the afternoon and go to one of their games. We always took a nice family vacation. Some of our places were Cape Cod, Kiowa Island, and our big trip to Southern California, so we could show them where we lived, where we went to school, the apartment we lived in, and where Philip was born. Now, Solomon, the Bible writer, is usually bleak and cynical. But I love what he says in Ecclesiastes 8:15. "And I commend joy, for man has nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful. For this will go with him in his toil through the days of the life that God has given him under the sun." Solomon is reminding you, yeah, life's hard. So enjoy those moments. Enjoy your family. And I remember reading as an early married person, never stop dating your wife. And I really didn't understand that because I thought, I really don't like dating. And now that I'm married, dating is over. I'm done with dating. No more dating. And then I realized, yeah, you still have to keep dating your spouse. You really do. There is a lot of wisdom to that. And now I got something to say to first-time parents who have small children, maybe babies, still baby. You need a break from your baby. In seminary, when Philip was born, He was tongue-tied at birth, so he did not nurse well at all. So he was always hungry, as we later found out. That's part of the reason why he cried continually. Plus, he was colicky. Did I mention that he cried a lot? Yeah, we were going insane with all the crying. And so there was an older grandma who was a seminary student along with us younger folks. And she gave us some really good advice. She said, yeah, when my babies cried a lot, I put them in a safe place where I knew they were safe to cry it out. And then I went outside and worked in my garden. It was my place of mental health. I needed it, and I realized, yeah, that's true. You need a break. You young parents, you need to go out on a date, just the two of you, and leave the baby with grandma or with a babysitter. You really need that time. Proverbs 5:18 says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. So date your wife. Guys, keep dating her. Date your family. Have fun together. How about letter E? Encourage your kids. When you encourage someone, you put courage in them by your words. You bring hope and confidence to them. Maybe they're beaten down and you're giving this wonderful gift of positive words. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. How do we encourage our kids? Oh, there's lots of ways to do that. A hug, going to their games, playing with them, listening to them. Let's look at three verses out of Proverbs 15. 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Right? Dads, that when you explode, your child's not going to respond to that. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Calm down, Dad. You're going to discipline them, but not when you're out of control. Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Good advice for our children in Proverbs 15. Encourage them by telling them, good job. I'm so glad you're my son or daughter. Thanks for cleaning your room so well. Thanks for trying to clean your room at least. That's a great drawing. I love it. You're daddy's little helper. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of the man you've become. Yeah, it's okay to encourage your adult children too. I love you. That goes a long way with encouraging our children's hearts. And then L, learn from difficulty. Learn from difficulty. It happens in every family. Dr. Gary Smalley's done a lot of research on this, and he's interviewed families that have gone through crises and hard times, and they've come out emotionally healthy. And he found a common theme that ran through many of those healthy families. In fact, he found that the most healthy families have a hobby that they do together that's pretty unique, and it's camping. He found that it's not so much the camping per se, but what happens during camping. Let's say you plan for good weather, right? And it rains the entire time and your tent leaks. You burn the food, or a bear eats your food, or a bear eats your tent. You got a flat tire while you were driving there, right? Difficult circumstances surrounding the camping experience, but you worked through it together and you came out of the other side and it brought you closer together as a family. Now, I know the Donovans do a lot of camping. They're not here today. Anybody else go camping? You like to go camping? A few of you, I didn't think there'd be many. I'm not into camping either. So for those that aren't campers, there's got to be something else. God forbid, maybe it's a health issue. And it pulled our family together and we worked through it. And I know that God uses difficult times to bind us together where we're stronger than steel. And you'll learn through those difficult times that God truly is in control and that you can trust Him. You'll learn that God still performs miracles and answers prayer. You'll learn the value of hope. Sometimes that's all you've got and you got to hold on to it. You'll learn what's truly important and what's small potatoes. You'll grow closer as a family unit through those hard times, and you'll grow closer to God. James 1, 2-4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Well, maybe you're here this morning, and it seems like your family's fallen apart. I want you to know there's hope. God can heal and will heal your marriage, your home life, your parenting. Just trust Him and see what He does. Give it to Him today. And do remember that things are more caught than taught. As we close in prayer, I'm going to ask our men and boys and grandpas and uncles and brothers, so all the males in the church today, I want to invite you to come up, and we're going to pray over our men today, all right, our boys, our dads. If you're not able to come up and stand, that's okay. You're part of our group, so please don't feel left out. I think we've got some great men in our church who are great spiritual leaders, and let's give these guys a hand as they come. Love our men and our boys. They're leading the way for us, but they need our help. They need God's help. So we're just going to pray for them as we close out our service. We'll close with a song, and then we'll go into Father's Day. Okay. Okay. Well, those of you who are fathers, happy Father's Day to you. You're a blessing. Lord, thank you for these men and boys who are, some of them are fathers, some are brothers, some are uncles or cousins. They're mentors in their community, perhaps, or to other people. Thank you for the role that they have and play in this world and in their families. We need you, Lord. We need your help. We need your strength and power. We need your wisdom, because like when we brought our baby home, I didn't know what to do. But you were there and you helped us, and you'll help them too. Help us, Lord, be the men of God that you want us to be, that we aspire to be, that we would realize it for our wives and our families and our friends. Bless these men, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's everybody stand, and we'll close with our song.
Thank you for listening today. I hope this helped you experience Jesus more deeply.